It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad, and we are here on a sunny, what a surprise, sunny Saturday in August. And sunny it continues to be, and sure to wish it wasn't. Sure would like a lot of clouds and some nice rain, and we all would. So at the end of the show, I usually admonish you to go to church and pray. So once you pray for some rain, that would be a good thing to pray for. We could sure use it. And while we're at it, let's pray for a little cool weather, too. Holy cow. I was in Toronto, Ontario, Wednesday, and up there for a meeting. I'm in a little coaching class. I was up there getting coached. How about that? And a little different up there, folks. Green grass, green trees, nice weather, you know. And you get on the plane and you fly back and kaboom, here you are again, back in the inferno. So pray for some rain. That would be great. Okay, this is a call-in show. Probably know that, but doesn't hurt. And we talk about estate planning issues on this show. And we appreciate everybody who listens, and we appreciate everybody who calls, and we appreciate everybody who emails questions to us so we can answer them and help everybody. You know, it's kind of interesting. I could sit here all hour, and sometimes I do, and just kind of drone on about different things going on in estate planning. But your questions help us all learn from the issues that are out there and kind of put a real human face in this. So call me this morning with your questions about estate planning. Our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370, and we can take your question and give you an answer out there on the phones this morning to Sam Wewell. Sam is 18. This is his last weekend in Austin, Texas. He is off to college next weekend, and for the very first time, and his mother, I guess we could say Cindy, has shed a few tears about that, and he's not shedding any tears, frankly, but she is. So anyway, give him a call. Say hi to him. This is his last Saturday here. He's done a great job being my phone screener. Again, Sam is out there at 390-1370, 390-1370, and we can answer questions this morning about wills or trusts. We can answer questions about probate. We can answer questions about asset protection. We do a lot of that at the Wewell Law Firm, helping people keep their assets safe for the bad guys. We can talk about planning for your business succession in case something happens to you. We can talk about planning for charity, always a noble thing. And we can talk about special needs planning, where there's a family with a developmentally disabled child out there that maybe an adult child, maybe a young child, but really needs some direction on what to do. And had a great coffee meeting last week with Cleo Rodriguez, who is the new executive director of the Down Syndrome Association of Central Texas, and they've got some good things going too. We can talk about elder law, which is making sure that if somebody's getting old and infirm and may need some long-term medical care and they don't have the long-term care insurance, how can we protect more assets for the family? And we can talk about pet planning. There you go. One of my favorite topics, pet planning. A lot of people have pets out there, folks. And if you've got a pet, that pet, Fluffy or Fido, may be the most important thing in your life. And so if you've got a question about pet planning, we can talk about that this morning, too. So our call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, is 390-1370, 390-1370. You can email me, and our email address is askbrad at wewell.us. So that's askbrad at wiewel.us, and I'll read your email question over the air and give you an answer that hopefully will help you with your situation, too. And by the way, during the week, if you're thinking about something or something comes up or you read something, email me during the week, and I'll read your question the following Saturday and give you the answer there, too. So it's askbrad at wiewell.us, askbrad at wiewel.us. Okay, looks like fresh and early. We got George on line one. George, you got a question about estate planning. Thanks for calling. What can help you with?
Yes, good morning, Brad. Just hearing the show for several, you know, probably 20 times, I decided to give you a call to kind of give you the scenario where I like to know if this can work for a trust for me.
Feel free
for my
to.
Family.
Okay.
Okay. A long time ago, I was required and didn't keeping properties, rental properties, and for some reason that my son talked me into it, we put them in the name of a corporation, a Nevada corporation.
Mm.
And that way the stock is, you know, that it is not in the name of anybody, but whoever has the stock owns those properties. And I don't know if that is the best way, because that way if I pass it along and my wife has the stock of them, and she continue being controlling the corporate properties, about 10 houses.
Okay.
And I wonder if how can this be converted to put it as a trust that you can prepare for me?
Well, that's a great question, George. And we see clients walk into our office from time to time with a bunch of Nevada documents. And typically it's because somebody heard something or saw something on the internet and went out to Nevada, did a seminar out there, was convinced that what you need to do is put everything in these Nevada entities, corporations or whatever, and voila, you've solved all your problems. And unfortunately, you can create a lot of problems, and it's unnecessary. So you've already done it, so we'll talk about your issue in a second, but just for the benefit of our other listeners, it is unnecessary to do anything in Nevada regarding Texas unless you're going to set up a special Nevada trust, which if we get some time, we'll talk about that. But, you know, we just see folks coming in, George, just like you, that we're, you know, this is a great idea. Let's form a Nevada corporation, and somehow we magically solve the problem. Well, there's two issues out there, and I'm going to try to give you some direction on this too. It sounds like what your real concern is making sure that if something happens to you, that your wife can stay in control of the property. Is that correct?
Yes, that's number one. And then if she passes away, the children will have their own stocks on it, and then they just can have ours. And then at that point, they own the whole 100% divided into two.
Well, that part is true. And so having a corporation own your property will technically allow that to happen. What I'm going to suggest is a couple of things. One is owning property in a corporation creates extra tax and unnecessary tax. You've already got a corporation. Are you a C corporation or an S corporation?
This is an S corporation.
I thought it would be. All right. So you're kind of stuck with that. Normally, George, and again, this is more for the benefit of our listeners too, we don't like putting real estate in corporations, but you have yours in a corporation, so let's see what we can do. When you die, your stock will go to your wife. There's no question about that, and she'll be the majority owner.
Yes.
What I'm going to recommend that you do is that you create a revocable living trust for you and your wife. You put your stock in that trust. If something happens to you, your wife can be the successor or co-trustee with you. She can sell property. She can buy property. She can vote the stock, and nobody will say boo to her about that. And when you die, all the stock in that corporation will go to her privately. Otherwise, we're going to have to value the stock, file it with the court, and in some counties locally, especially Travis County, the value of that corporation would end up on the internet and people would know what she's worth. And we don't want to do that, I don't think.
I lost you the last part. Then people will know what it's worth.
What she is worth. Right. So having a revocable living trust and having your stock in that trust, in your case, not every case, but in your case, will allow her to be able to manage the assets if you're incapacitated. And when you die, she'll get them. And nobody will know what she's worth, and nobody will know where the money is in this family. With 10 rental homes, you've got a nice estate, and I think it's important that we keep it private.
Yes. Well, let me tell you that we do officially, in other words, we have two lines of business, and one of the two is precisely real estate. We build homes, and we develop land. So it's not a corporation that it is only – it's not a passive corporation or a passive activity.
Right.
We do this actively, and she does get involved in it.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you one other thing that I would suggest that you do. Again, we're not big fans of corporations because of the tax issues, but we're not big fans of corporations in one other respect, too. And that is that if you get sued, not because of a building issue, but you get sued because you're driving down Mopac or I-35 this morning, and you're in a car wreck, and you hurt somebody, and it's your fault. because you've got a corporation, then your creditors, the plaintiffs, the people hurt in that other car, can get your stock. And if they get your stock, they get your company. So what we recommend that our clients that have corporations do, George, is that they convert the corporation to a limited liability company, an LLC. And you can do that, and frankly, we can help you with it. But it's the kind of thing that it's tax-free, so there's no additional income taxes that you have to pay because you do it. But if you're in that car wreck this morning on I-35 and you hurt somebody and they sue, they will not get your interest in the LLC. If you have a corporation, they will get your stock and they will get your company. But with an LLC, they do not get your membership interest in the LLC and they don't get your company. So,
The LLC is in Texas. It's a Texas LLC.
I would recommend Texas has excellent LLC laws now. We didn't used to. And in fact, in the past, Nevada had better laws than we do. But that's not the case anymore. We have excellent LLC statutes here, probably one of the top five in the country. And I'd recommend that you just convert it to, if you can, a Texas LLC from a Nevada LLC or a Nevada corporation.
It's not a limited liability corporation, but a company.
It's a limited liability company. That's right. So instead of having stock and instead of you and your wife owning the stock 50-50, it's just a change of name. Instead of owning stock, you have a membership interest, and you each own 50% of the memberships.
Oh, good.
But if you get sued from just driving down the road, minding your own business, and cause a wreck, they will not get your assets. I mean, this is a lot of money sitting out there that you wouldn't want somebody taking your corporation that has your 10 rental properties, and now they're their 10 rental properties and not yours. So LLCs are a smart way to go. Corporations are kind of old school and kind of a dinosaur at this point in time.
Okay. And then how do they... how do we work these living, you know, the living trust and so forth?
Well,
I mean, how do the LLC fit into it?
Boy, that's a great question, too, and that's a really common question around our office, George. And so if you have a trust and you have an LLC, or you have a trust and you have a corporation, instead of you and your wife owning the stock or you and your wife owning the interest in the LLC, the trust owns it. But you're the trustees of the trust, so you're still in charge. You're the CEOs of the trust. But the trust owns it, you don't own it. Now, the advantage of the trust owning it instead of you owning it individually is that if you're incapacitated, then your wife is in charge of all the shares, of all the membership interests, because she's now the successor trustee. And if something happens to her, your son can take over and be in charge of the interest. Now, he doesn't get all the inheritance, but he can be in charge of it long enough to make sure that everything is done correctly for your family. A living trust is a much better way to control property if you're incapacitated, because otherwise you have to rely on a power of attorney. Real estate title companies don't like powers of attorney. Banks sometimes will honor them. Financial institutions don't like them. With a trust, you can force somebody to accept the trust, to honor the trust, and you just have more control. And when you die, again, the advantage of a living trust over will is you can keep everything private. Nobody needs to know what you're leaving your wife. Nobody knows what she's leaving you. And nobody needs to know what you're leaving your kids. So instead of you owning the stock, the trust owns it, but you own the trust. And it's just a little layer. It's like a Pyrex bowl. You put the company in a Pyrex bowl, and you put that Pyrex bowl in a bigger bowl, and that bigger bowl is the trust. But you've got your hands on it. It's your property.
Well, and then if I had these properties in the name of
LLC?
The corporation, then they have to be a quitclaim deeded to the new LLC, or how do they change the title to it?
Well, no. If you've already got them in a corporation, then it's a matter of just changing the corporation to an LLC, all right? And and whether or not we would have to go back and redo the deeds, I'd want to give some thought on that. Perhaps, but that's not a big deal, and in Texas it's not a big deal, and we would not use a quitclaim deed. We would probably use some sort of a warranty deed to do that, which is, my guess is, did you put them in with a quitclaim deed?
Yeah.
And see, that's what you get when you do Nevada stuff. We would recommend you do a warranty deed, and I'm not going to go into that right now. It's a little more complex than we have, but whether or not you have to re-deed them into the LLC from the corporation, I don't think you'd have to. But that's something we would look at later. Okay?
Let me Thank you very much,
George.
Brad. I will make an appointment.
Well, that's fine.
Okay?
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Have
You're
a great
welcome.
Day. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. What a great question. That's a multifaceted question. And, you know, let me just kind of touch on a few things here. Then we're going to go to a break. And, again, we're taking calls this morning at 390-1370, 390-1370. We do see folks wandering in that end up in Nevada, that end up with a raft of Nevada documents. Not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but, boy, a lot of complication. I mean, you don't need to go to Nevada. Good old Texas has virtually everything that you're going to need to do all the estate planning you're going to want to do. Now, there may be some exotic notion that you've got about something called a domestic asset protection trust, which Nevada has and Texas doesn't. Alaska has and Texas doesn't. And a few other states do. But that's a really untested thing and a very, very, what's a good word, rare deal. And, again, an LLC, a limited liability company here in Texas, a limited partnership is going to get you virtually everything that you're going to want as far as protection and not have to go to Nevada. George did go to Nevada. His son got him up to Nevada. They got all these Nevada documents. They've got a corporation. We don't like corporations. You don't need a corporation. You need an LLC. Corporations are dinosaurs. If you get sued going down the road, not related to your business, but just driving down the road on errands on a Saturday morning and you're in a car wreck and you hurt somebody and it's a bad wreck and they go through your insurance, they can get your stock. If it's an LLC, they cannot get your membership interest, your ownership interest in that LLC. And that's a huge difference. If you're an S corporation, we can make you an S LLC. If you're a C corporation, we can transform you into a C LLC. So, there's a lot of things that you can do, and so, again, if you're considering opening a business, do an LLC. If you are operating the business and you have a corporation, consider transforming the corporation into an LLC. It's a much smarter way to go. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got a caller on line one. So, caller, if you would please hang on. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to get to your call in about how many minutes? Nope, 2 minutes. And we'll continue. Our call-in number, 390-1370. I'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad, and we are taking calls this morning at 390-1370. 390-1370. We have Sam Wewell out there. This is Sam's last Saturday on the show. He's off to college next week. So give him a call. Say hi. Give us a question. We'll give you an answer. We got a caller on line one. Caller, this is Brad Wewell. What is your name?
Bruce.
Bruce, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Great. What can I help you with, Bruce? Thanks for hanging on, by the way.
No problem. I was calling to find out on living trust, do you have to file fees and do you have to file it with the state of Texas, or how does that work?
You don't. I mean, it's a pretty cool thing. I like privacy, don't you?
Yeah.
And there's a lot less of it out there than there ever has been. And one of the nice things about trusts is that they can be very, very private. And you don't file it with the Secretary of State in Texas like you would a corporation or a limited liability company or a limited partnership. You don't file it anywhere. So that's the first piece of good news. The second piece of good news is you don't have to have a tax ID number. When you form a company, you do need a tax ID number typically, but when you create a living trust, you don't. It's just your Social Security number. Are you married?
Yes.
You can use you or your wife's. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It does not affect your income taxes, so you don't pay any more or pay any less because you got this trust. And it doesn't affect your property taxes either, so that's kind of cool. So
how do you put property into a living trust?
Well, it depends on the kind of property, like your home, for instance.
Or a second home.
Sure, a deed, and it's a deed. We do them all the time, and it just says that, like Cindy, the home Cindy and I own is in the name of our trust. So we have a deed that says Brad and Cindy Wewell are. Basically conveying our home to Brad and Cindy Wewell as trustees of the Brad and Cindy Wewell Trust. I mean, it's a deed. That, in fact, Bruce, is the only The only thing in the public record about the fact that we have a trust. It will be in the deed records showing right. the name of our trust, but the trust itself is not in the deed records. It's just a reference that, in fact, there's a Brad and Cindy Wewell trust out there.
And there's no problem with a mortgage company changing that over?
Not on your home, all right?
Okay.
There can be when it comes to rental property, and so we recommend that our clients who want to transfer rental property into their trust that they get the mortgage company's permission. Now,
right.
some mortgage companies are going to let you do it, Bruce, and some aren't. So here's
sure.
the here's the kind of the, oh, I don't know what you call it, the risk and the remedy. If you've got a living trust, and this would also apply if you're going to transfer property into a limited liability company or a limited partnership, the mortgage company may say, no, this is not your homestead. There is a special federal law that says, yes, you can transfer your homestead in, and they can't say boo about it. But this is rental property. This is a ranch. This is a farm. This is a lake house. And so you ask their permission, and they say no. You've got a choice. You don't put it in the trust. You die. That piece will go through probate, but nothing else will. If you're incapacitated, it gets much worse because the company probably isn't going to honor a power of attorney to sell it, and there'll be some other issues. But so what some of our clients do, Bruce, is they say, well, I know the mortgage companies said they won't give me permission. I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it anyway. Now, you know, the theory is, and I'm not recommending it, but it's an interesting theory. The theory is, well, you know, is the mortgage company really going to foreclose on me because I've transferred this piece of property into my trust or my LLC or my limited partnership? And the answer is probably no. Because these mortgage companies, the last thing they want is more foreclosed real estate, right?
Right.
And so, you know, they may blow a whistle, they may make a fuss, but, you know, and in fact, if worse came to worse, it could be transferred back into your name and you cure the default because it's back in your name. I don't know. But
sure.
But that's the only real downside when it comes to mortgage property. Habit of living trust back to your home won't affect your homestead exemption. For property taxes, if you're over 65, it doesn't affect that. And they just passed a new law. The legislature just passed a new law this year that says that you still get all of your homestead protection from lawsuits, even though your home may be in your living trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a really nice thing. In Texas, you get to protect up to 10 acres in an urban area, and 100 if you're single, and 200 acres if you're married or have kids in a rural area. I mean, it's a great exemption. Putting your property in living trust will not affect that either.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What kind of fees are you looking at? I know it can go. What kind of minimum fees are you looking at as far as getting a living trust written up?
Well, I'm going to be real frank and straightforward with you. We don't quote fees on the
sure.
on the air, and we don't quote fees over the phone. And it's kind of like somebody who comes into the doctor and
yeah.
says, you know, doc, I've got this cough. You know, what do
what's
I have? Yeah. So let me give you, here's what you can do. At the Wewell law firm and other law firms around town, I mean, we're not the only law firm around town, of course.
Yeah.
You get a complimentary consultation.
Sure.
You can come in, bring your wife. We'll talk about what your options are, and we'll talk about, in fact, whether it's a good fit for you or not. Living trusts
right.
are not going to be for everybody.
Okay.
But it may be for you. And what you can do, too, if you go on our website, we have a great website. It's TexasTrustLaw.com.
Okay, great.
And there's a button on there called Beginning the Relationship. If you click on that, at the bottom of that page is a whole little section about fees and what you need to consider. Read that, and then if we can help you, we're happy to see you and help you any way we can.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for your call, and have a great weekend, Bruce.
You too.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. All right, good questions. Good questions. Yeah, living trusts are pretty hot little topics, and I just came back from a three-day deal a week and a half ago in San Antonio, where it's called the Advanced Estate Planning Course, but I'm at the State Bar, and the more traditional or establishment-type estate lawyers used to go on and on about, oh, you don't need a trust, you need a will. Let me tell you, the world has turned. And living trusts are now being recognized as the way to go, provided they're done correctly, ladies and gentlemen, provided they're done correctly. And that's not you going on a software program, and that's not you working with a salesman who is not a lawyer. That's you going to a board-certified estate lawyer if it's done correctly, it will work great. And it may be just for you. They're not going to be for everybody, and they're not going to be for smaller estates. But if you've got some money and you've got some property and you've got a concern about making sure somebody can control it if you're incapacitated, and making sure you can get it to your loved ones privately when you pass away, then a living trust may be a good alternative. And that leads me to an email question we got. And I'm going to remind you, our call, the number is 390-1370, 390-1370. And let's see if I can find this email. Hang on 1 second. And the email is, are living trusts lawsuit protection trusts? And that is a very, 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 very common question. And it is, without a doubt, the most common question that we get at the We Will Law Firm about living trusts. And I wish it was, but it's not. So people hear the word trust. And somewhere along the line, it might have been in kindergarten. It seems this is so deeply embedded in people's brains. It might have been in high school. It might have been in college. It might have been around the coffee table. It might have been over a drink. It might have been over a cup of tea or at lunch. Somebody gets the idea that if I put my property in a trust and I get sued, that for some reason it's magically not available to my creditors. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is thoroughly wrong. It is incorrect, and it's incorrect from the get-go. And yet, it's a myth that is out there and stays out there, and we have to fight it all the time. Let me put it very bluntly. A living trust does not give you any additional lawsuit protection in Texas or, frankly, any other state. There are perhaps some trusts that you can do. They're very specific trusts. They're going to do one or two little things. They're not going to be your basic estate plan where you can put property in this particular entity and protect it from lawsuits. The most common thing that we use in our office to protect people's assets from lawsuits are limited liability companies and limited partnerships. They're excellent ways to take your investment portfolio, to take your ranch, to take your rent house, to take your lake house, to take your farm, your commercial property perhaps, and keep it from being seized if you get sued. Limited liability companies, limited partnerships, as I told George, the first caller this morning, are fabulous ways of protecting property in Texas from lawsuits. But living trusts give you absolutely no protection from lawsuits, no more nor no less. So you heard me talk to Bruce just a minute ago about homestead protection. Homesteads in Texas are golden. We are so blessed to be living in Texas because Texas has an excellent homestead law. It's in the Texas Constitution. If you get sued, they cannot take your home. Unless it's the mortgage company, you don't keep up the payments there, unless you don't pay your taxes, unless somehow you've got a home remodeling going and you don't pay the home remodeler. Otherwise, in virtually every other situation, your home is going to be protected from being seized in a lawsuit. That is not the case in about 47 other states. In 47 other states, there's typically a dollar amount. And if you get sued in, I think it's, Doug may get on me on Monday, he's licensed in North Carolina, but I think in North Carolina, the amount you get to keep is $65,000. And if you get sued, they can take your house, they can sell your house right out from underneath you, kick you out of it, and hand you a check for $65,000 and say good luck and Godspeed, and they keep the rest. I mean, that's not going to happen in Texas. This is, again, an excellent place to own real estate if you 10 acres in an urban area, 100 acres if you're single and living in the country, 200 acres if you're married or have children and are living in the country. I mean, this is fabulous stuff, regardless of value. Putting your property, putting your homestead in a living trust does not affect that protection either. Again, the legislature just passed a brand new law this session that says that very clearly. And so it's just it's a great thing. And Texas is a great place. Texas was founded by debtors. And you may not know the story. I've said it a couple times on here before, but it bears repeating. People came to Texas in the old days from places like Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Carolina, whatever. And they came here because they were in debt back home, and they were about to lose everything. And they would take off, light out in the middle of the night. And what they would do is they would write on their doorpost, GTT, gone to Texas. And when the bill collector showed up one day to get his bill paid, he'd see the GTT and he knew he was out of luck because his family had moved to Texas. And when they got to Texas, they made sure that our Texas Constitution, so this is not just some whim of the legislature, this is in the Texas Constitution, and to change it would take, I think it's two-thirds of the House, two-thirds of the Senate, and a vote of the people. This is solid stuff. They got here and they said, we want our homes protected from our creditors. And we understand if we got a mortgage, we have to pay that. And we understand we have to pay our taxes. But we don't want to have to lose our home for anything else. And that's why we've got a really, really, really good homestead law. So, and we have excellent LLC laws. And we have excellent limited partnership laws. So this is a great place to live and owe people money, quite frankly. We have excellent laws on annuities and life insurance products. And if you own an annuity in Texas, they can't take your annuity from you. If you own life insurance, then and you've got a cash value in that life insurance, you can reach in and get it out, and they can't take that from you either. When somebody dies and they owe a lot of money to a lot of people, but they have life insurance, the life insurance death benefit will go to their family, and none of the creditors will be able to get that either. Now, that's pretty powerful stuff, folks. Life insurance products, both on the annuity side and the insurance side, life insurance side, are excellent ways to protect assets from being taken from you if you get sued. They're not going to be for everybody. And annuities have some controversy about them from the investment standpoint. Life insurance, well, some people just don't like life insurance, so that may not be a good option. But you cannot beat either of those things when it comes to asset protection. If you put money away in a 529 account, so there are college savings plans now you can set up. If you put money in a 529 account and you get sued, they can't take that college money that you've set aside for your children from you either. So a lot of neat little things that you can do under current Texas law that will protect your assets. And living trusts are great for a lot of things. They are great to make sure if you're incapacitated, somebody you pick can get the financial institutions and the real estate title companies to do things, can force them to do things. But, and when you die, when you die, we can make sure your entire estate goes to your loved ones privately. Nobody needs to know. Nothing ends up on the internet if this thing is done right. Nothing ends up in a public record in the courthouse. No neighbor will find out. No predator will find out what somebody's worth because nobody knows because it's been done right in living trust. But they do not add anything to your asset protection. If you get sued, they can get your assets just as if you didn't have a living trust. So if you want to do asset protection planning, you may need a living trust, maybe a good way to start. But then you may want to layer on top of that a limited liability company, a limited partnership, or perhaps some insurance products like an annuity or a life insurance policy to add even more protection to that too. So, okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're in about 10 minutes. And if you got a phone call, this is your chance to call at 390-1370, 390-1370. If you want to send me an email real quick, I'll answer it this morning. Our email address is askbrad@wewell.us. That's askbrad@wiewel.us. And I'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. And before we go to our caller, and hang on, Les, I'll be right with you, Candace Bocock, who is the producer of this show, and she's also the director of Probate and Trust Administration, the Wewell Law Firm, emailed me about the question about rental houses in a trust or an LLC. And she said, can't you refinance? And the answer is yes. So we had a call from Bruce earlier about putting his maybe a rental house and a trust. And I said, well, you can maybe take a chance on it and do it anyway. But one other thing you can do, if you've got rental property and you want to put it in a trust or a limited liability company or a limited partnership, is refinance the mortgage into the name of the entity. And the mortgage company won't let you, find another mortgage. There are plenty of low interest rates out there. You might end up paying less anyway. So that's another option. You just get a hold of another mortgage company, have a refinance, and do it in the name of the trust from the get-go, do it in the name of the limited liability company or the limited partnership. And that's a way to make sure that you get it in too. And in that way, you won't be in any kind of violation of their due on sale clause, and you won't be in any kind of trouble. So good thought, Candace. Thanks. Okay, we got Leslie on line one. Leslie, Brad Wewell, Law Talk with Brad. Thanks for calling. What can I help you with this morning?
Good morning. Question. I co-own a property with my brother. It was my parents'
house. Sure.
I live there. My brother lives elsewhere. And we own the property free and clear. So recently we wanted to borrow some money on the property to do some improvements. The home is older. And we went along, and I went through my credit union, and they told me that either we both had to live there, we both had to claim it as a homestead, or none of us should claim it as a homestead. That was the only way that they could lend money on it.
Hmm.
So I thought, well, maybe they didn't really know what they were talking about, and I went to another a bank, and they told me the same thing. So my question is, first of all, have you ever heard of that? And second, if that is the case, that we need to, in other words, I'm not going to ask my brother not to claim his home as a homestead. The only way I can see to do this is to change the title so that we remove one of our names from the title,
right.
Unless there's some other way. And if we do the business of removing our name, one of our names from the title, what's the best way to proceed with that? Is that, I've heard of a quit claim deed. Is that the way to go through that?
Well, there's a lot of issues, Leslie, that you bring it up. And first, I'll tell you what I can't really help you with, and then I'll tell you maybe some things you may want to think about that may help.
Okay.
Whether or not a bank is going to refinance things as it stands right now is thoroughly up to the bank. They have their own criteria. And a lot of times what they're tied up with are the requirements of the company that they're going to sell the loan to.
Okay.
So you may go to your friendly neighborhood credit union, and they're going to finance it, and you're going to deal with them, and you're going to sign the papers, and everything's going to be fine. And they're going to turn around and sell the note to some investment group. And it's what's happened throughout the country. Why we have the problems we have is that
right.
All the banks sell their notes to other people. So they have their requirements, and frankly, if you've been told two or three times this is a requirement, you're going to have a problem. You may want to look at going to a commercial bank. Have you done that?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm not really supposed to mention names.
No,
but
I probably wouldn't. But you can go check out, I'll mention something, check out a more local bank that may be able to be more flexible, because maybe they're going to keep your loan in-house.
Right.
Okay, and then they have their own requirements, and you may fit their requirements. As opposed to if they're going to sell it on the secondary market, the requirements are going to be a lot less inflexible.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the issue of your brother deeding his share over, first of all, it should be a deed and not just a quick claim deed. We don't like quick claim deeds, but there's going to be some gift tax issues here.
There's going to be some what?
Gift tax issues.
Oh, okay.
Because your brother can only give you $13,000 a year worth of anything.
Okay.
And if the house is worth $200,000, let's say, and he gives you his half, well, he's just made a $100,000 gift to you.
Now,
all right. Now, he can make a $100,000 gift to you and not pay gift taxes, because what happens is the first $13,000 is free. The other $87,000, he files a gift tax return. He tells the IRS, look, I made an $87,000 gift to my sister. When he dies, that $87,000 will come off of his own estate tax exemption. It may not be a big deal. It'll also come off his $1 million gift tax exemption. He won't write a check, but later when he dies, it could hurt his estate if he has a large estate. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
And then if you close it and you decide, okay, I'm going to put my brother's name back on it, I'm not sure you're going to be able to do that either, because that might be a violation of the due on sale clause, but you put his name back on it, voila, now you made a gift back to him of $100,000. And so I know it's just complex as all get out. It may be the best solution, but there are going to be some issues with this too. And maybe somebody else out there has got a better idea, and I'm open to hearing them. But you may want to consider forming an LLC and refinance it in the name of the LLC. The downside of doing that, though, is that you won't be able to claim your homestead tax exemption, which saves a lot of property taxes, doesn't it?
Right.
So no good answer on this deal, girl. I wish there was. Where does
We may just have to make, if we made it a rental property, then we would be okay. If one of us didn't live there, it sounds like that's the issue.
Yeah, I think so. But again, before you give up on this thing, again, I would go to a couple of local banks.
Okay.
I would probably not do the big boy, you know, Wells Fargo, Chase, Bank of America route. I would probably find a more local bank and go in and ask them what they could do if they could. Now, what you're going to find if you go to the local bank is that their rates are going to be higher than you can get someplace else. That will be the cost of trying to continue to do business the way you and your brother have it right now.
Okay.
But that may be the best thing to do if you want to kind of keep – it sounds like you like the current arrangement that you've got, and he's okay with it too. Is that right?
He is, although, the house is older. It's built in 1950, and so there are certain things that need to be done for upkeep, you know, and so that's kind of where we are. It's like we do like it. We live in a nice little area. We're in the city limits, but sort of it feels very rural. I have have horses. I have a barn. I have an arena.
Wow, totally cool.
And I'm like, 10 miles out of the city. And so from that standpoint, it's like the best of both worlds. But there's certain upkeep that we have to do on a house that old. And so we just have some decisions to make, it looks like.
Where does your brother live?
My brother lives up in the Dallas area.
Okay. And does he own a home up there?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Yeah. You can't have two homesteads, unfortunately. So, yeah, I guess that's the best I could tell you to do right off the top of my head anyway, is to go ahead and talk to a couple local banks, see what they would do. See if they can help you. If not, then we may have to look at a plan B.
Yeah, great. All right, well, thank you so much for your help this morning.
And I really appreciate you calling. I appreciate you listening to our show, too.
Great, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. All right. Good stuff. There are two gatekeepers in the real estate arena, folks, the lenders and the title companies. And the lenders call the shots if you're going to buy a property and finance it, and the title companies call the shots regardless whether you're going to finance it or pay cash. The title company is very concerned about making sure that whoever is selling the property has the legal authority to sell it, and they're going to be warranting. Title insurance is insurance that you buy so that if later it turns out somebody is in your chain of title that really owns it and you don't, now how could that be? Well, maybe somewhere back somebody died without a will, and the person who sold it originally only owned half of it, and nobody looked to see who owned the other half. And now years later, it turns out the person or the family who does own the other half shows up and says, "Hi, we're here to get our property." Title insurance is there to first defend it if it goes to court, and second to pay you if there's some damages. So title insurance companies are in charge of that process, and banks are in charge of lending money. All right, this has been a fast show, rock and roll. We're out of time. Thanks to Sam Wewell for his yeoman's work in being our phone screener throughout the last 3 years. Wow. And thanks for anybody who listens. Today's Saturday, tomorrow's Sunday. Go to church, pray for rain, pray for our country, and throw one in for me too. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week on Law Talk with Brad.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.
So, how's your sister doing since Frank passed away?
Well, it was so unexpected. I think she's still in shock.
These things just take time.
If her grief weren't enough, on top of that, she's got all that red tape about wills and probate to handle.
I'm Brad Wewell for the Wewell Law Firm. The whole process of probating in a will or administering a living trust after someone has died can seem bewildering and complicated. There are rules to be followed that can often be confusing and frustrating. You may think that just having a will settles everything, but that's not always the case. At the We Will Law Firm, we provide our clients with the sensitivity and expertise to take care of your family's needs. I'm board certified in probate law and estate planning with the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. We have offices in Austin and Georgetown. All meetings are by appointment only, and your first visit is always free. Call us now at 480-8828 to schedule your free appointment, or go online to texastrustlaw.com. The We Will Law Firm, the peace of mind people.